Okay, we'll be talking on cleaving. Praise God. So I titled this, The Power of Unity. It's also a message on cleaving. You know, I did this because I saw a video. I saw a video of a man who was going about asking some young men to list these three things in order of priority. First, your wife. Second, your mother. And then third, your daughter. And the result of that video, it shook me. And I felt like young men need to learn so that they don't abuse the institution called marriage. And young women also need to learn. When you learn and you do it right, I tell you, you enjoy it. You enjoy it because I'm a testimony of someone who is enjoying marriage. Glory! Hallelujah. Okay. So many of them, should I say many of them or all of them, they gave this response, say, I don't think I want to choose wife to come first because if something happens to my wife, I can marry another woman. Most of them chose their mother. They said, no, I cannot have another mother if something happens to my mother. And the others, they chose their daughter. They said, no, my daughter, nobody can take the place of my daughter. Praise God. I want us to learn this evening so that at the end, I will ask you to put it in order of priority. Praise God. Praise God. So let's start from the scripture where all this started from. Genesis 2, we'll read from verse 18. Can we read together? One, two, go. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Praise God. Remember yesterday, our list what told us, marriage is first for the man. Praise God. Hope you've not forgotten what you learned yesterday. Okay. Somebody said, yes, sir. Oh, my God. He says, and the Lord God said, it was God that said it. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. So God was in the business to make and help for the man. Praise God. Let's read verse 19. It says, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. Read the next one. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. So God was still in the process. And this help had not shown up. Do you understand? Okay. 21 says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his rib and closed up the flesh instead thereof. 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bone. Glory! And the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from man. He's at his business. What God has asked him to do. Name everything. So he calls this other person a woman. Praise God. Okay. Then 24, he said, therefore shall a man, is he a woman? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Are you seeing it? Leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto, did he say his daughter? Did he say his mother? his wife. He shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be what? One flesh. Now, your daughter is very important. Your mother is very important. But the Bible tells us that if you must cleave, if you must live and cleave, that the person you must cleave to is who? Your wife. Your wife. You know, that was what Pastor was saying yesterday, that many times, even when men, they have decided that, oh, I like this girl, I like this babe, I want to get married to this girl, but they don't allow this lady have the freedom. Society still has the voice, still has the influence. Their family still has the influence over their wife. Do you understand me? But the Bible is saying that she will cleave. Cleave unto who? Unto who? His wife. And you know that Adam, he didn't have a father. He didn't have a mother. So how did he come about this? It must have been from the wisdom of God. It was the wisdom of God that pioneered this, for him to say it. You know, God brought the woman. And Adam saw the woman and said, this is perfect for me. This is good for me. Because in the beginning, God had already said that this man should not be alone. Hallelujah. Praise God. And also, we'll see that this was actually the first place in the Bible that the name wife was mentioned. Wife was mentioned. So if we want to ask ourselves, who is a wife? You know that question that was asked one time, I think it's, they said, who is a woman? And nobody could answer the question. Who is a woman, or what is a woman? So we want to find out, who is a wife? Because the Bible says, you will do what? Move and cleave to wife. Praise God. Praise God. God will help me to run it quickly in the name of Jesus. Can I have a couple here? Praise God. Now, the Bible used help meets in this passage. The word there, help meets, was trying to explain a help suitable. A help that is suitable. And remember that Adam was on the assignment. Adam was on the job already. Adam was already doing something in the garden when God said, it is not good. He was busy. But God said, these plenty things that I've committed to you, it is not good that you carry it alone. I will bring an helpmeet. Meaning I will bring somebody that is suitable to carry that assignment with you. Do you understand? This is why men, you cannot just marry anyhow. You can't throw your emotions everywhere. Because there's somebody that God will give to you that will help that work, will help that assignment, will help you on that journey. A help that is suitable for the assignment. So a wife is given as that help that is what? Suitable for the assignment, suitable for the job, suitable for the journey. Praise God. Praise God. You know, so many people have married and the very thing that they were supposed to do, or they were supposed to accomplish, or the very purpose they were supposed to accomplish, they couldn't accomplish it because no peace in the home. It's either the man is tormenting the woman, or the woman is tormenting the man. He's supposed to think straight when he goes to work, but no, he's thinking. You know, somebody, I'm so sorry to bring this up. Somebody was sharing something with me one time. I feel I should share this. So she said, this man got married to this beautiful lady, and she was always nagging and complaining. Have you not seen your mates? Have you not seen what they have done? You, see you, this one. So because he wanted to please his wife, he took up a visa and traveled abroad. and he will send money. And then she would be like, oh, he's doing well and all the rest. So he got into a business that he was not supposed to get into, and he got arrested for drug trafficking. He got arrested and he was jailed for it. And for like how many months now, he has not seen his family. He has not seen his wife. The same woman who pushed him into this, she's now shouting and complaining. Oh, come back now. Come back. He should come back. He should come back. Do you understand me? So you must do it right. You must wait for that suitable help. The woman who will not push you into what God has not called you to do. The man who would not push you, rather the person who will make you better. He says, I was like this, but when I got married, I became better. That's why most times when you see married women, you say, ah, you're looking more beautiful, though. How many of us have said that before? A woman should not get married to a man and she looks worse. She feels like I shouldn't have even said yes. Praise God. And a man too should not get to that point where he feels like, ah, I for not marry this woman to say I know. It can be avoided in your singlehood. Don't rush. Don't rush. Tell your neighbor, don't rush. Do it God's will. Do it God's way. And you will enjoy it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. So, according to the dictionary, Sati and your beautiful wife, where are you? You know, the Bible tells us that in Proverbs 18, verse 22, it says, the man who finds a wife finds a treasure. Ah, karabadadada. The man who finds a wife finds a what? Treasure. And receives favor from the Lord. Is this what you should rush into anyhow? The man who finds a wife finds a treasure. So I want to explain cleaving. Okay. So according to the dictionary, to cleave means to adhere firmly. To adhere firmly and closely or loyally and unwavering. So I want to use this tool to demonstrate. Let's say this man was with his father, like he has been with his father and his mother all these years. And he was like, ah, and God brought it to his mind. To like, ah, guy, with all these things I've put in you, and with this journey, this place you are going to, I think you need a wife. And it drops like a coin, just like my husband said, that when he was baiting, it dropped like a coin. Praise God. Not this coin that we are seeing these days, the heavenly coin. Praise God. So it drops, and it's like, it's true. And come to think about it, I'm seeing one piece girl like that. I think I'm beginning to fall in love. Praise God. And then he begins to pray about it. And the Lord permits it. Listen, please. And the Lord permits it and said, this is the woman I want you to go with. And according to the scripture, the Bible says that you will leave your father. Let's say the family is here. You will leave your father. You will leave your mother. And you will do what? Cleave to your wife. And according to the dictionary, I said to cleave means what? Adhere strongly, firmly, hold that tight. To adhere firmly, strongly, in a loyal form. That means whatever is happening to this guy is not far from this woman. Whatever is happening to this woman is not far from this man. Because the Bible tells us that the two shall become one. The two shall become one. So in the spirit, we don't see this man as Brother Tony. We don't see this woman as Sister Peace. But we see them as the family of Mr. and Mrs. Anthony. Praise God. So they cleave. It's called cleave. They become loyal to the marriage. They become faithful to the marriage because anything that breaks one breaks the other. So it is not like he was one half and this one was one half. The both of them came together to make it a wonderful and a beautiful home. Yes, there might be times where it is normal. The human being, the nature will come in, there will be quarrels and everything. But taking that gradual step of love, it will get to a point where the way they started and the way they are moving is not the same thing. Do you understand? You know, the first year of our marriage, we thought that, see, if we cross this year, forget about it, we have made it. Do you know what it means that you are still staying with somebody? You have never stayed with somebody like, you have never tolerated somebody that. And some things that you thought that I can just look and I'm good, but it's getting to you. One day my husband finished bathing and he put soap and sponge. I was like, where do I start from? How do I do this? I was, you know, something as little as that. I was already talking inside the house. I was like, no, now who does this? Like, who does this? But you know that now, it doesn't bother me. And the man must also get to that point where he wants to satisfy his wife. And the wife wants to satisfy the husband. It is no longer, it's me. The two shall become what? One. And many times, even when they have quarrel, and it's in the night, nobody will sleep. As you are sleeping, your mind is doing bam, bam, bam. I don't know about for those deep sleepers. Maybe it's when they finish sleeping, they're not going to apologize in the morning. God will see you. Because the woman will not be able to sleep. Her mind is going, okay, I shouldn't have talked like this. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have... Peace. Let me show you the importance of this. Let's go to 1 Peter 3 verse 7. NLT says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. Is this not scary? If a husband does not treat his wife as he should, his prayers, the prayers of the both of them will not be heard. It will not be heard. Maybe the reason why some people are poor or some things just happen is because they've not been treating themselves well. If you treat yourselves well, your prayers will be what? Heard. So for the guys here, if you've not decided to cleave, please don't throw it everywhere. Don't give the lady blue light or green light. What do they call it? Don't give it to her until you are ready. He says if he does not treat his wife well, the prayers will not be heard. I want to ask you one question from this place. Let me shoot some people. Who lives together? Who lives together? The husband and wife. Please, can we read it again? One, two, go. It says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. Did he say boyfriend and girlfriend? Cohabiting is not the way. If you've not married her, he has not married you. Don't live with him. Don't stay with him. The Bible says husband and wives are the ones that should do what? Live together. Some people might say, we are not doing anything now. We are not doing anything. But I just say, let me come and spend 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We are not doing anything. You are not doing anything, ba? Okay. Let me tell you a story. So there was this couple. They were planning to get married. And so she lives far from the guy. And many times when she comes to Port Harcourt to see her family, she ends up going to visit the guy and she stays for like 2 days, 3 days, 4 days and everything. And we're like, girl, this thing you're doing, I know people are not doing anything, but calm down. And when it was close to marriage, when the guy's parents found out that, oh, he had actually engaged the lady, the trouble started. The war began. We're like, no, we can't accept this. We can't take this. Oh, no, 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 you must do this. You mustn't do that. You must do all the, oh, whatever. And then the father traveled down to visit this guy and the lady. And she was telling me that I couldn't really understand, but the way they were just looking at me, news had flown that she was always with the guy in the house. So the parents saw her as an outward girl. A girl, if he comes stay with me, I say our son done, he done do something. Even if they did not do anything, that mindset is already there. So many times people, oh, you are not doing anything with the guy, you're not doing anything with the girl, but people are already looking at you. And the thing is in their mind, this way they stay together like this. Do you understand? So that thing brought problems, issues. It was by the intervention of God that these two people could settle. Cohabiting is not the way. You have your father's house. You have your mother's house. Go and stay there. Let them marry you well, with respect and joy, and take you to your husband's house. Many times the girls will say, hey, is it because I'm not married? That's why they're talking to me like this in this house. It's not because you are not married. Change. Change. Praise God. So I've shot that one in the name of Jesus. So if you know that you are not ready, you're not ready for this, please don't push it too hard. I want to show us another scripture. Let's see Ephesians 5, verse 33. It says, Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. So love his wife. Even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. The man has been given the responsibility to love, and the woman has been given the responsibility to do what? Submit. Let the woman see that she reverence her husband. Let the man see that he loves the woman. You know, whatever you love, you will not harm. Whatever you love, you will treat with care. You will treat with so much care. Like men, oh, your car, you will maintain it. You will put fuel. If the tire is bad, you will put everything, because that car will serve a good purpose. That car will, let me show you something. It's like you are joking with wife. Let me show you the importance of taking care of the woman that God has given to you. Proverbs chapter 5 verse 18, I'll show you two scriptures. I give you the second scripture. So the Bible is instructing you to do what? Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Now go to Psalm 128 verse 3. Psalm 128 verse 3. It says, your wife will be like a fruitful grape vine, flourishing within your home. Flourishing within your home. Oh, Jesus. Flourishing. You know, God originally has designed the man to be the one who walks and walks, and he's plenty, plenty things. Then the wife is like the one who sits, gathers, and brings all the favor and progress and blessings through what that man is supplying. That's why they will say, if you give a woman one or you give a woman two, you times it, she will give you plenty. Do you understand? It is a woman that you treat properly that will flourish in the home. She will flourish in the home, and it will affect even her children. It will affect her generation. Oh, Holy Spirit of God. Let me show you another scripture. Remember the first one we started? We said, the man who finds a wife finds what? A treasure. And receives what? Favor. Receives favor from God. Receives favor from God. Now you see how important it is that a man must love his wife. Because it comes with many, many goodies. It comes with answered prayers. It comes with favor. It comes with a lot of things. Hallelujah. Men here, say with me, I will love my wife. I will treasure my wife. I will love my wife. I will love my wife. I will treasure my wife. In case you are married, I know maybe some people are, say it with me. I love my wife. I love my wife. I treasure my wife. Praise God. Okay, let's go for the ladies. Ladies, say with me, I will honor my husband. Say it with me, I will honor my husband. I will honor my husband. I will bring blessing to the home. I will bring favor to the home. My home will flourish. My home will flourish. My children will flourish. Glory! Glory! Praise God. And remember that even when God was setting the man or setting the woman, the Bible tells us that the man went into a deep sleep and the Lord pulled from the man and made the woman and made this beautiful woman. And when he brought it to the man, he was comfortable. Men, be careful of what you are looking for. Be careful. Even women, all the list you are writing, I want her to be tall, I want her to be this, all those things are good. But if that is the only thing you're looking for, there's a problem. I want her, somebody was telling me, if she's not light skinned, I no go marry. If he does not have six packs, I will not marry. If she does not have the big breasts in front, I will not marry. You as a man, if they give you that big breast to carry, will you carry it? That thing you are looking for, if they give it to you, will you be able to tend it? All your own, I want this, I want that. If God opens your eyes, just like our list will always say, don't go and marry knife in place of wife. Don't do that. At this stage, what you should be doing, just like Adam, is following the Lord. Is putting yourself together, knowing yourself. Doing the assignment so that when the time comes, you won't need to be like, ah, are you sure? Are you not sure? Maybe or maybe not. Something that is supposed to take you 1 year, you are dating for 5 years. 7 years, they will give you certificate. 7 years. After you say they give you breakfast, why would they not give you breakfast? When the lady does not even know, where are we even going to? Don't do that. If you know you are not ready, calm down. Don't date 10 years. Jesus. And then you ask them, okay, when I put looking at, say, is even the woman that is to pain me? Say, I don't know. We are just, maybe. You need help. You need help. You need help. Who knows if other men had come, but, okay, she's in a relationship. Let's go. Chai. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your energy. Any relationship that is not leading to marriage is just cruise. You guys are just cruising. You don't know what you are doing. You're just cruising. Get to the point where, as you're dating, the girl is sure. The boy is sure. This is where we are going to. We are going to get married. But we are still trying to put one or twos together. We are still trying to plan this. We are still trying to plan that. Not that you don't even know. Praise God. Don't scatter everything everywhere. Be coordinated. Yes, love is sweet. Love is sweet. Love is sweet. But it is not all about the feelings, just like I said yesterday. Love is not just about the feeling. Love is responsibility. If you put the woman in the house and every day you're giving her feeling, and you're not responsible for anything, she'll wake up one day and she's tired. She's tired. She wakes up, she does not know where you people are going to. We are shy in the house, so I have a wife. No, you don't have a wife. You have a husband. You need to come and be counseled and learn and move. Praise God. Praise God. So doing marriage the godly way is beautiful. So just like God prepared Adam separately and brought the woman, the question will be, what would a single girl be doing? Allow God work on you. Build your walk with God. Put yourself together. Prepare. Don't be in a rush. Many times people who rush are likely to fall into the wrong relationship. Are likely to fall into the wrong marriage because they are rushing. You are rushing. Praise God. But when you calm down, you don't allow it beat your emotions. You don't lock yourself in the room and you cry from morning to night. Child, who will come and marry me now? I want to say something. Do you know that because of the world we live in, it feels like the desire of the man flipped into the responsibility of the woman, and the desire of the woman flipped into the responsibility of the man. What am I trying to say? The Bible tells us that marriage was firstly for the man. Did we see it when I read it? Did we see it? Firstly for the man. He says, I will make him and help meet for him. But in today's, in our world today, it is the woman who bothers more about marriage. It is the woman who worries. But according to the Bible, that is not the way. The woman is supposed to be focused, doing what she's meant to do, building herself, having that walk with God. And then the man is the one that should sort it out. Then after God has prepared this woman, he brings her to the man. That is why it is the man that sees the woman and makes the decision that I want to marry this one. That's why we tell ladies, if he does not like you, don't throw yourself at him. Because if a man does not like you, it will be so obvious that he does not like you. But when you force yourself on him, you might get to a point where you might not like the end. You might not like the end. Yes, you are emotional. You want all this and all that. Calm down. Let him prove to you that I want you. It is you that I want. You are the sugar in my tea. Who drinks tea with sugar, Sif? You are the honey in my tea. It's, you know, tea is fresher with honey. Praise God. Try it and then come and share your testimony. Hallelujah. The man should come to that point where he sees this girl and is like, wow. You know, just like Moses Bliss' new song. Oh my God. She's my woman. She's my everything. Get to that point where he can brag about what the both of you have. Not that he's hiding. Say, now your girlfriend, but they say, we just be friends. We are friends. No, now. No. I trust some ladies after you leave there. So it's me that you were telling them that it's the both of us that is friends, right? And quarrel has started. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let him prove to you that he wants you. And for the man, if the woman is telling you with her attitude that I don't want you, leave her alone. Leave her alone. You don't want to wake up one day and she tells you, now you forced me inside this thing. No. You forced me. I was just on my own. You forced me. I tell you that first time, I don't want. I tell you the second time, I don't want. But you forced me and forced me. No. I'm saying this because it happened to somebody in our house, in our family. It was even the man. How funny. It was the man that was complaining that the woman forced him. It was a serious matter. No, please, they had to call family meeting. The man was complaining bitterly that he didn't want this, so that it was the woman that forced him into this. Many times, don't look at the present. Look at the future. Do I want to do the future with this person? Can I stand when tribulations come? Watch his character. Watch how he responds. Is it the person that gets angry easily and throws things on you? Run. You want to explain yourself, but you have received like 5. Jesus said, when they slap you here, turn this other way. Read the context. That's not what it means. Before you say you want to go and do yourself a scapegoat, run. Praise God. You should watch this person. How does he act? How does he behave? These are the things you look out for in a relationship. You look out for it. Does he listen to you? Do you guys work together? Do you agree on things together? You know, when myself and my husband were dating, it was almost like we're already married. Because there are times we're like, guy, this thing, I think we should do it like that. I was even thinking about it like this. Let's. And then there are times where I might get offended about something and he's, even up to today, he does it. And I'm like, God, please. He will apologize for morning. Tonight, I'm like, it's okay. I've forgiven you, sir. Please, sir. I'm not angry again. I used to tell people, if I'm sorry, could build a house. Kalabalata to shapata. Do you know where I would have been living now? You want to try me? So you see that the man must be willing to embrace the woman. Just like what happened That's cleaving. The woman must be willing to rest on him that, okay, we are doing this together. I won't wake up one day and I'm feeling like, Those feelings will come. But what would you use to encourage yourself? It will come. And as a man, protect the one that God has given to you. Don't expose her anyhow. Don't expose her. Protect her. Protect her. Don't make her feel uncomfortable. Insecurity. A woman should come to the point where even if a man is working with some other girls, because of the love and care, the trust, the foundation you have built with her, it is very hard for her to say that my husband is cheating. Even when somebody comes to tell her, I saw your husband. No. She will not believe that person first. Because of the foundation you have built. So men, build the right foundation. Do it the right way. If you are chasing a babe, do it the right way. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Have you been blessed this evening? Glory!
While she was sharing, I was stirred up to share some things. Because the goal of this particular session is to help already married people or people in relationships. Are you with me? Yesterday's session was actually to help you find. And I think the Lord still pushed her that in that direction to also throw more light on helping us find. But the goal of today is to help you if you're in a relationship or if you're already married. Are you with me? Are you with me? The Bible says in Proverbs 24 from verse 3, it says, true wisdom is a house built. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. True wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. One more time again. True wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. Listen, I believe that our marriages can be more beautiful. I believe our relationships can be more beautiful. I believe so. But the problem actually usually begins from this. I know what I want to say may be hard on you. Listen, if you are here and you have already been married, please, I'm not saying this to attack you or to shame you. It's just, we need to just learn and get better. Amen. And let me tell you, make up your mind. Even if you're already married, let me tell you what I hope for. I hope that in a short while, conferences like this will not just be attended by one partner with the other partner absent. Are you getting me? I hope that in the shortest possible time, when we have Living and Cleaving conference, husband and wife will attend together. Amen. Boyfriend and girlfriend will attend together. Praise the Lord. You will soon find out why. I'm telling you, it's very important. Praise the Lord. So I want to start by saying that no product can be better than the quality of raw materials used to produce it. 3 years ago I said, let me start again. No product can be better than the quality of raw materials used for the production. It cannot be better. See, that means if there is a problem with the raw material, it will eventually show up in the ending. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Let me tell you something. I discovered that there are some things that if are not put right, no matter what you want to teach your marriage, it will not work. I'm telling you, it will not work. The raw material, first of all, who are you? Who is this person? Before you talk about joining to somebody else, who is this person? And, you know, when people hear sermons like this, it is easy for them to say, I'm the good person now. I'm the right person. You know, I saw something online that made me laugh. The person wrote, there are some of you that God warned not to enter a relationship. What if you were the one God was scared about that would be a problem in the relationship? Because most times, when somebody has a dream and God is telling the person, don't marry the other person, they feel like that other person is the bad person. Are you with me? Are you with me? What if you are the one God was warning the whole relationship about? And there are just some things you will need to work on if you're going to have a happy home. Let me tell you something. Marriage will humble you. Hey, see, no matter how smart you think you are, no matter how intelligent you think you are, our married couples, our mothers and fathers, they know what I'm talking about. I'm not yet there, but in the little I've experienced, it will humble you, I'm telling you. After my wife was saying about our first 1 year, that first 1 year, See, at a point, it looked like, see, if we don't divorce, I'm telling you. We thought I was there. If we cross this 1 year, because it looked like every 2 days, quarrel. Every 2 days, misunderstanding. Every 2-3 days, we are settling one issue. But we pulled through. Amen. And guess what? We are still going to pull through. We'll fight more. Are you with me? So now, I want to start. I've already started. So, praise the Lord. I want to summarize what I'm trying to say into 3 C's. Number 1, conviction. Number 2, conflict. And number 3, connection. I want to coagulate everything I'm saying into 3 C's. Number 1, conviction. So first of all, our mothers can testify to what I'm saying. Have you ever been in a state where you are trying to get your husband to see something and he's not getting what you are saying? Hey, God. Say after me, conviction. See after me, conviction. See, before you get married, when you get married, after you get married, you must seek to see that two of you are looking at things the same way. The same way. The same way. The same way. Can two work together except they be agreed? You must be looking at things the same way. Because if you don't look at things the same way, what you think is not a problem may be a problem for him. Are you getting me? Same thing for the guys. What you think is not an issue may be an issue for her. The same way. Constantly, you must have to align your views together. And first of all, you must align your views about God. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Jesus gave a story in Matthew chapter 7. He says, he that built his house upon a rock, he that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them is like the one that built his house upon a rock. That the winds came, the floods came, but it did not fall because it was founded upon a rock. I'm telling you, two of you will have to hold yourselves together and say, what do we believe about God? How do we, if you are the kind of person who you take God serious, you are trying to know God more, and the other person is not interested at all, you will have problems. Did you hear what I just said? I'm telling you. That's the basic one first. So if you are married already, start praying. Oh. Start praying that, oh God, touch my partner. For instance, a person like me, if you don't like prayer, if you don't love Jesus, you'll be tired. No, you'll be tired. I guarantee you that one for sure. I'm not trying to say we are the most spiritual or something. But I remembered when, I'm sorry, babe. When New Year was about to start, I and my wife were fasting for 40 days. Then it was not wife, it was Sister Faith and Brother Wisdom, now Pastor Wisdom, amen. And so we're fasting for 40 days. Every day, we'll come and pray. Parakatatai and fast, pray and fast. One day, she's a prayer machine, I praise the Lord. But that particular day, I told her that we are going to pray for 30 minutes. I should have not said anything. As I just said, we are going to pray. I told her we are going to pray for 30 minutes. She said, okay, let's go and pray. So we went, and I don't know, the spirit took over. We now prayed for 3 hours. After the prayer, I said in Jesus' name. She just walked out. The way she banged the door, bam, and walked out. So I now went out and said, any problem? So no problem, no problem. Well done, no problem. Thank God she loves the Lord. Ah, your view about God. Your view about spiritual growth. Hey, oh my God, oh my God. God, help me. I will not talk past the one I'm supposed to talk in Jesus' name. Amen. Your view about God. Don't say, oh, he's not a serious, serious believer. Let me tell you, who said, you know, every time you hear men say, I want to marry a praying wife. Who said a man cannot be a praying man? Listen, the man actually ought to be the praying man. I'm telling you, he ought to be the priest of the home. Listen, he ought to be the one that will cover his family. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Brothers in the house, listen well. Hey, God. You have to be the one that will cover your family. Oh. That is why the devil actually likes attacking men to be spiritually docile. Praise the Lord. Your conviction about the Bible. Not the one that you marry the kind of lady that will say, see, all this church thing, all these pastors something. I don't want to hear. No, listen. Your conviction about the Bible. There are some questions I hear. I'm like, do you believe the Bible? Do you agree with the word of God? For instance, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands. Let me start with wives. My wife was attacking husbands, Abby. Okay, so I've come for the ladies. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. There's something I'm noticing. Now, Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My wife will say, what about love your wife? You are playing with wife. Nah, you are playing with husband. My own turn, Emilio come, my own turn has come. I want to talk about something. The modern age does not change biblical standards. Did you hear what I said? Modern age does not change biblical standards. Women, before you say yes to a man, make sure you choose the man that you can honor. See, not just honor, choose the man you can submit to. I'm telling you. Because, have you ever seen that verse of the Bible that says, can we do some more Bible study, please? Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. You know the story. The serpent came and deceived the woman. As it were, deceived the woman and she ate the fruit. And then she gave the fruit to her husband. And Adam also ate the fruit. And God was disappointed in them. And God now began to deal with them. Verse 9. And the Lord God called Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the man now blames the woman. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree. That's a lesson already. Do you know that? God knew that it was the woman that the serpent talked to, but God did not talk to the woman. It was the man he came to. Listen, in your family, all the men, before I even go on and talk about ladies, say after me, I will take responsibility. Say after me, I will take responsibility. So God did not talk to the woman. No. He came first to the man. He says, Adam, where art thou? Do you know that in this story, Adam sinned more? Hey, Jesus. Listen to me. Do you know that in this story, the greater sinner was Adam? In the story of the eating of the forbidden fruit, who sinned more, Adam or Eve? Adam. Do you know why? Let me explain why. The Bible says in the book of Timothy that Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. So Eve was talked into. She was manipulated into eating the fruit. Adam knew that as I'm eating the fruit, I'm disobeying God. So the Bible says that Adam was not deceived. It was Eve that was deceived. So Adam was with his full chest saying, I will disobey. God said, oh yeah, you come and start. Come and talk. Are you following what I'm saying? So as a man, you open your eyes and praise the Lord. You have to open your eyes and say, this thing, no, I have to address it. This thing, I have to address it. However, let's go to our ladies. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says, after Adam blamed the woman, then, and the Lord God said to the woman, verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust unto thy dust, and all of that. Now, everybody read verse 16. I want to show you something there. Maybe it's a scripture you may never have understood before. Mm-hmm. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, what does it mean, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee? No, don't think you know what it means. Are you following me? Open to Genesis 4 verse 7. You know, my one is Bible. All my conversions from Bible. Everybody read. Now, what's happened? Before you read, what's happened in Genesis chapter 4? Cain and Abel had just sacrificed, and God accepted Cain's offering. Sorry, God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's offering. And Cain was angry with Abel. Are you with me? And God now came to Cain and said, why are you angry? He says in verse 4, everybody read verse chapter 4, verse 7 now. 1, 2, 3, go. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. What is at the door? What is at the door? And unto this shall be his desire. Whose desire? Sin. That unto this shall be sin's desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Are you discovering that he's using the same term he used for Eve? That unto Adam shall be your desire, but that he shall rule over thee. Please, if you are following me to this point, raise your hand. If it's confusing, I should come again. Let me tell you one thing. I discovered that I'm not with all sense of humility. 50% of the church has not been exposed to serious Bible study. Go back to Genesis 3:16. Genesis 3:16. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Go to chapter 4, verse 7. She's talking to Cain. He says, sin is at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. What is he saying? So to understand Genesis 3:16, you have to understand Genesis 4:7. He's saying that actually, sin is at your door. He's trying to rule over you. Eh? But instead, don't allow it to rule over you. Ensure my order is that you rule over sin. Are you with me? Are you with me? He's saying sin is at your door. It's close to you. It is trying to rule over you. But this is my plan. My plan is not that sin will rule over you. It is that you will rule over sin. He's also saying that to the woman, your plan, a time will come where the woman will want to rule over the man. But my plan is that man will rule over woman. Did you hear what I said? Go back. He's saying that women will have a tendency at a point where they want to lord it over their husbands. But God is saying, my plan is that it will not be that way. Your husband will rule over you. Somebody say amen. Somebody was saying amen. Why are you saying? No, he's done. He's done already. God is the one that said it. Now, I'm not saying this will subjugate the women. I'm saying it because, listen, first of all, it is God's order. You see that thing within a woman, eh, that wants to rule over the husband? It is, God is saying that is the result of the fall. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. You will learn to submit to your husband. There are some things that you should not do. A simple explanation of submission is this. In your office, imagine your boss in the office. Your boss says, Catherine, bring me 10 files. And you know that there are only 2 files with you. What will you do? What will you do? No, you will come and say, Ace, don't talk to me like that. Don't you know that there are only 2 files here? Can't you come and count for yourself? What will you do? Because he's your boss, you will go with the 2 files and say, sir, I know you asked for 10, but there are only 2. There's a way you will say it. Are you with me? Maybe you are in a meeting and your boss makes a mistake openly. You know, say, hey, oh God, you don't talk nonsense there. Oh. Don't do that. Is that what you say? No, tell me, is that what you do? Because it's your boss, you will submit. You will just, maybe after the meeting, you say, oh, sir, with due respect, this is the right thing to do. You know why? You know that there is a way you will shout, he can change it for you. Are you following me? Ladies, so the Bible says you should do what? I want the ladies to talk. The Bible says you should do what? Submit. So the balance here is this. You don't submit to anyhow human being. Praise the Lord. Now, many men complain that my wife is not submitting. The issue is that have you proven that you are worth submitting to? Hey, God. This is where the conundrum is. Have you proven, as a man, how do you prove that you are worth submitting? Husband, love your wife. So there is a way you will love her into submission. You don't bully, even though God says women should submit, you don't bully her into submission. You love her into submission. Are you with me? It's like I'm on my own. I should stop. If you want to get a woman to submit to you, it's very easy. Just start loving her. In fact, guys, you know what I'm talking about. There is a way you will start taking care of a woman. Eh? You will take care of her to the point she will just start, okay, I want to do this. Let me run it by you first. What do you think about this? You know what's happening? Submission is already happening. Okay, I want to do this. Except those women that they did IT with Jezebel. Not those ones. But there is a way you will love a woman. Naturally, she will just begin to submit. Do you get that? Do you get that? Praise the Lord. So I said convictions. Also, under convictions, you must tell yourself, we are here to work. It will not happen. Let me tell you, a good marriage will not happen easily. People believe that, okay, if God has said, you know why many people like to say, did God tell you to be my wife or God said you to be my wife? They like to say, what has God led you? One of the reasons why we try to so embrace the idea of God's leading. I'm not saying God does not lead. God leads and he will lead you. Amen. 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 But sometimes we try to celebrate the leading of God over the work we need to put in. We think that if God has said two of you will be together, it will just be a bed of roses. Can I shock you? Oh, should I shock you? God can bring two people together and you still have a divorce. You doubt me? Acts chapter 13 verse 2. God can ordain a relationship. Two of you can have dream, encounter. An angel will appear.
thou daughter of Zion. I came from the throne room. Andrew, my son has been prepared for you. I made him from the foundation of the earth for you. Then Andrew will come to you the next morning. Hello, sister Jennifer. Last night I had an encounter. It was a very strong encounter. I have to just share it with you. The Lord came. Let me show you an example. Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go.
And fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul. Actually, Barnabas and Saul is Barnabas and Paul. Are you with me? Paul and Saul is the same thing. If you can check later in the scripture. Just look at verse 8. Can you quickly go to verse 8? Okay, verse 9. It says, then Saul, who is also called Paul. Are you with me? So those of you who thought that Saul had an encounter, then Jesus changed the name to Paul. Well, those days they had this a person can have two names. It always happened. You see Jesus say Simon. At other times say Cephas. Simon Peter. Same thing. Paul Saul. Hallelujah. Praise God. So verse 2. He said, as the ministers of the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Paul for the work whereunto I have called them. God was the one that called Barnabas and Paul and said, two of you, you will be together. Two of you, you will do ministry together. Imagine. God said, they were praying. No, nobody tried to force them. They were just praying. And the Holy Ghost, hey, Holy Ghost. Separate me, Barnabas and Paul. And you will think that, oh, God has brought them together. These people, their ministry, they will never have any issue. They will never have any challenge. But remember that old song? Paul and Silas, they prayed. They sang. So what happened to Barnabas? The Holy Ghost came. So should I tell you what happened to Barnabas? I will tell you what happened. Acts 15 verse 39. So let's start with verse 37. Let's see if it's captured the context. Please, if you have at verse 37, read out. Let me hear you. Whose surname was Mark? Verse 38. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Verse 39. So, see, Barnabas wanted to carry somebody along the journey. Paul said, Mbano, it will not work. Barnabas said, guy, God picked you too now. Paul, you were also a sinner and God picked you. Let me pick somebody else. Paul said, no, this guy slide us the other time. Don't pick him again. And they started quarreling. That small thing, you will see the result of it. And everybody read verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed, they divorced. That they departed asunder from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed on to Cyprus. That was how Paul now went and took Silas. But remember, it was the Holy Ghost that said, what am I trying to tell you? If you don't put in the work, even if God says it will not work. There are so many marriages that collapse, not because God wanted it to collapse. They'll say if it's the will of God, it will work. It's a lie. Sometimes it's the will of God, but you did not put in the work for the will of God to work. Or maybe you did not have the will to make it work. Some people, small thing, they give up. Small, they're just part. You have to put in the work. Praise the Lord. That takes me to the next thing. Time is fast spent. Conflict. How do you handle conflict? When there is misunderstanding. Let me tell you, these are the real issues. These are the real issues. Conviction first, then conflict. How do you handle conflict? Sometimes, many of you, have you not been in a situation where you said you liked a girl, you liked a girl, you liked a girl, you liked a guy, you are so in love, you are so in, but the day two of you fight like this, you start looking at the person, you are useless, you are a witch. The one that made me, I was overwhelmed. There was a guy that met me, he liked a certain sister. He liked the sister, we're telling him, calm down. He said, this girl, we are telling, I had to beg him, I said, take it easy, the way your blood is shaking. He'll be talking to me about the girl, he'll be shaking like this. Ha! Me, at the point I was not saying, this way, this guy kind of love. I hope me, I love my wife. And my man never they shake like this. I'll be telling him, take it easy. He'll be shaking like this in my office. Say, guy, pastor. The day this girl made him angry, he called her a witch. That she's the servant of Satan. I almost wanted to do him like this. Guy, did you take paracetamol that healed the shaking? What happened? Conflict. Sometimes, if you have not mastered forgiveness, you can't see, you will have problems. Because no matter how sweet, how you will have problems. Some people, they have problem 2 years ago, they'll bring it back. That's how you did that day. That's why I and my wife, I'm a master in saying sorry. Because no matter who is right, eventually I will still miss her. Are you with me? So, In order not, no need to start explaining. I'll just, I'm sorry. However, you have to learn how to confront the truth and talk through things. Don't just say, don't bring it up. I don't want to hear about it. See, the two of you have to sit and confront this thing. We can't keep doing this thing. If your husband is complaining about something, discuss about it. If your boyfriend is complaining about something, sit down and discuss about it. And let me tell you, such discussions will not happen only after you get married, though. It will happen before marriage. You must have seen that you and this person have been able to walk through conflicts before you get married. Not sweeping things under the carpet and let's not talk about it. You now start touching yourself and kissing yourself and pretend like nothing happened. It's a lie. You are setting yourself up for doom. Hey, I'm finding trouble. Good trouble, Abby. Talk through it. Talk through it. Talk through it. Conflict. Not, see. Because of our time, finally, connection. So the first one was what? Conviction. The second one was what? Conflict. The third one was what? Connection. Let me beg you. Please. Let me know and beg you. I beg you, in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, the great high, most high God, don't marry somebody you don't like. If you are not physically attracted to him or her, please don't marry. Don't say feelings will come later. Let it start now. Are you with me? Everybody, oh, you are all holy. Okay. Before me, yeah, I know better. Please, there must be connection. Because let me tell you, in the marriage, that connection will be tested. Oh, ask married couples. They will tell you that same person that your body was shaking for. I cannot wait to have sex. The emotions. I want to have. You will enter like this. Quarrel will meet you like this. Even you. She will be naked like this before you tell, get out of my front. I'm telling you, if you're not careful. So, as I round up this. How, for the married people, for those in relationships, how do you build your connection? For the married people, for the married people, what I want to say now is for the married people, please, if you are not married and you are dating, it's not follow for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Uh-huh. You must be a master of romance. Yes. You must know how to seduce your partner. Did you hear what I said? See, yesterday I said something in passing. Husband, don't only remember, see, as a husband, if the only time you touch your wife, in fact, right now, they have even bastardized the word touch. When people hear touch, it means let's have sex. If the only time you touch your wife is when you want to sleep with her on bed, you're a bad man. You are not nice. You must see, if you quarrel, if you have an issue, it's my wife, I can use and demonstrate this one. Learn to just put your hand like this. Remove my hand. Just leave it there. I'm passing current. Are you following what I'm saying? The married people, if you are dating, this just hold hands like this. After the hot quarrel like this, hold hands. Say, remember, Johnson. Babe, don't worry, we can go through this. I've heard you. Hold the hand strong. Where's your move now? Hold it. Then you say, Makato Koporia. I will never let you go. Some people, they are very serious. You are doing like that. Mm-hmm. You say, you hold the hand strong like that. You know what you're doing? Connection. Sorry. Are you following what I'm saying? Connection. So for the married people, be a master. Learn to, babe, come. Learn to, are you getting what I'm saying? Let me tell you, usually, sometimes, before marriage, emotions come spontaneously. After marriage, emotions will come mechanically. Did you hear what I said? Before you enter, your blood will be, a time will come some days, you wake up, it's called see finish. When you wake up and see somebody for 5 years every day, one day, I don't see you tire. Wait. I don't tire to see you. So you have to ensure that you don't, see finish does not take over you. It's a disease. It's a pandemic called see finish. Did you hear what I said? This is the reason why many people cheat, because there is something called the enticement of the new. Guys can talk. Guys and ladies know what I'm talking about. You go to a new place, you get to a new environment, and you just see this new guy or this new girl. Everybody's in church, and first timers come out, and among the first timers, one tall girl like this. Hey, then brother that was not active in first timers and follow up say, I will follow up that sister. You know what's happening? He may even be in a relationship, but you know what's happening to him?
the enticement of the new. You may go there and find out that the grass is not greener on the other side. Am I talking to you? Praise the Lord. Connection. Also, another way to build connection is talk. Talk about anything. Let me tell you. Talk. Just talk. Force yourself. You will, a time will come. You and the person, all your gist will finish, but talk. Bring you one. When you tire, hold your hands again and pray. Are you got what I'm saying? Let me tell you. Connection is deeper than sex. So, connection. Have you ever seen people say things like this? We just met, but it seems like we've known before. Because they've been talking. You met somebody and you talked for 2 hours today. Talk 2 hours tomorrow. Talk. Let me tell you, if you're not careful, after 2 weeks, you would have bonded more with the person than you've been than you claim to have been dating for the past 5 years. And let me tell you, as a rule, wife, husband, never allow yourself bond with a stranger more than you bond with your wife. Never. It's called emotional cheating. There is a cheating that is not all about physical things. There is a cheating that you say you have a boyfriend, but there is another boy that you talk to more than you talk to your boyfriend. You are cheating. Do you hear what I said? You say. Let me tell you, you cannot have a boyfriend and a best friend. Your boyfriend ought to be your best friend. Your girlfriend ought to be your best friend. Did you hear what I said? Don't be doing emotional cheating. Your babe will be asking you, we have not talked today, but you are online. Yes, you are talking to somebody else. You've been chatting with the person. Then the person that you are in relationship with is telling you, babe, then you tell, I've been busy. I've been so tied up today. Today I've been very stressful. You know, I have a lot of things to do. You are a liar. And a cheat. I'm finding trouble, guys. Same for ladies too. Same. Both guys, both ladies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Connection. Let me tell you. If you are dating and you feel you are not connecting with this person again, go and pray. Go and pray. Don't waste the person's time. Did you hear what I said? But if you are married, fight for it. Yes. Tell your neighbor, fight for it if you are married. You will have to fight for it many times. Oh, I and my wife, our short 2 years plus of marriage, we fought for it. There is something called growing apart. No quarrel, no misunderstanding, but you are just going apart. Before you say there is quarrel, when you see yourself growing apart, like when I came back from Abuja, I just see my wife, we sat down, talk. My gist finished, I won't finish. We started again, like that. A time now came, it started flowing. Usually, when you are growing apart, that first time you are trying to reconnect again, it will be like friction. You understand? When you have not driven car for a long time, you have to push the car. Then eventually the car starts moving. Were you blessed? Glory!
Right. Thank you very much. So the first question is, Pastor, you said that a man that engages a woman with a ring finds that he's serious. But I want to dispute that fact because some men now are full of deception. They can go to any length to get a woman to love them and eventually lose her. How else can I know a man whose commitment, engagement, and confession of love is genuine? So, people propose to you. A man proposes to a woman, but some people end up still being the woman. How can I know beyond that show of love that this person is committed and his confession is true?
Well, Jesus said, that's it. If you claim that you are serious about it, make the right steps. Go to the family. Make the steps. Let me tell you the truth. Until, even if, thank God for the ring, but until it makes commitment, serious commitment, until it makes serious commitment, you are free to doubt. Even though all things being equal, the ring could have been enough, but we are in wonderful times, and so he must just make the commitment. I've known people who apparently the Lord once told me a story. He said when he gave his wife to his wife, engaged her with the ring and all that, after 8 months, she came and met him with the ring and said, see,
Is this a key holder or an engagement ring? Is this a key holder? So she had to be like, okay, I've got the ring. What next? So let him make the move and get married.
Do you have anything that?
Not really, like he said. So I think what he's trying to say is that there's a process that a man gets to, that you truly know that for this man to come this far, then it's something that I can hold on to. So for this man to get to a point where we have moved from the stage of dating, just dating, and he has given me that sign of commitment, which is the ring, is a proof that he doesn't just see me as, oh, his babe and everything. He wants to move from this place to the next level. I don't know if you understand. He wants to move from this stage to another stage. So it doesn't totally mean that, okay, men don't act in a certain way, men cannot do this. But what Pastor was, if I understood it, what Pastor was trying to say is that as you go on in this relationship, as you follow this man, as you understand who this person is, he will move from one stage to another. So until he gets to that point where you see that this man is actually serious, don't give out a lot. I don't know if, yes.
Let's move next.
So someone is asking, in a situation where everything you like or you hate, the other person that you're talking to also likes and hates, does it mean that it's a sign that you are compatible? Like the same things and you dislike the same things? Does it mean that you are compatible?
Mm-hmm. There are so many things that people hate and like. Common. So, for instance, everybody hates stealing, and everybody likes Nigeria winning. That does not mean both of you are compatible to spend your life together. So, for the being compatibility is just one aspect of the decision-making process. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
So, for the fact you just go along with someone. Maybe you meet someone and you will flow together. You like the same kind of food. You like have the same dislikes. You have the same like. It may not mean that you will not have misunderstanding. It may not mean that the person is a forgiving person.
Yes.
It may not mean that the person can withstand pressure. It may just mean that you will go along together. It may just be that. Work colleagues. You can have friends and all of that. But for somebody to be your life partner, say you will marry, two of you live together, the Bible says they were both naked and not ashamed, is much more than having the same likes and having the same dislikes. There is more to it.
And yes, many times when the both of you are just friends, it's easy to move along and you feel like something can work until you get into a relationship. You know, when myself and my husband were just pastor and sister, everything was okay. We never had issues, we never had quarrels, and we were good. But when there was love attached to it, I never knew that some things can come into it. So just like Pastor said, it is not only about that part of it, compatibility. There are other things also that you must check and know. Praise God.
So just to add to that, the person asking that question, most likely, he's at the stage where they are becoming friends. And it looks like this thing can work out. So they are at that point where time, we are vibing together. This thing is making sense.
Yeah.
Give it time. So I will not tell you, just pull away or just rush in and start dating. Just give it time. Over time, you will see things that, you'll be like this too. I'm telling you, you will see things like that too. So just give it time. Praise the Lord.
Take time. Amen. Don't rush. Like we heard yesterday. The next question. My auntie has been married for 18 years now. And she has been, she's been separated from her husband for 10 years. She was married for 18 years and then separated from her husband for 10 years. And now she has 4 children and she's 42. I want to ask, is it okay for her to remarry, or should he stay, take care of her children, and pray for God to change her husband?
I think the decision boils down to the woman. First of all, what made her leave? Is it something that she wants to stay and endure? Is it something that she can carry? Is it something that she can live with? If she knows that it's beyond her, then she can calm down and take care of her children. I don't know if I...
The way I think the question
okay.
is, like, to answer the question, I feel like you need to even know the history, because it's difficult to just say, okay, do this.
That's, yes, that's what I'm saying.
You don't really know what's happening.
Let me come. Maybe they are trying to, let's assume that it's the woman herself actually asking this question. Like, what should I do? Well, like my wife said, it boils down to the woman, but there are some things to consider. First of all, she needs to ask herself, am I ready for another marital relationship? Because in as much as you want to remarry, it does not mean that for the fact you've been married for 18 years and you've separated, chances are you have gotten used to being independent so long that getting married may become a burden eventually. So are you ready to now be a good wife again? Are you with me? Are you ready to be a good lover again, or have you just closed that part of your heart completely? Because there are some people, the only reason why they want to get married, or let me put it like this, if the only reason why you want to get married is because you need resources to take care of the children, maybe you should not get married. Because now, you will go there and the other person may feel like, ah, she's just collecting from me and that emotional bond is not there. Are you with me? So, just to consider some other things. But in my opinion, no, I will encourage you to remarry for one major reason. The Bible says, Paul talking to widows, he says, if you will born, marry. In fact, beyond even sexual desire and burning in that context, there is also a context of loneliness. See, you know loneliness is deadly. If you are at that stage where sometimes, because eventually your 4 children will grow and leave you, whether they are boys or girls. If they are girls, they will grow another man to come and marry them. If they are boys, they will go and marry their wives. And eventually, you just... I've seen... Painfully, I've had to counsel ladies that in that... People older than her, older than this particular age, 42, I've had to counsel ladies in their 50s and 60s. And many of them, what they're even looking for at that age is not even sex. What they're looking for is a companion. One told me, look at Christmas now, see my big house. Well, to do woman, they see my big house. I'm alone in the house. One of my child is in Europe. That's what I want. My children, this one is in Winnipeg. This one is in Canada. This one, all her children, all grown up, big, and they have all gone. And she wakes up alone in the house. And when she says, praise the Lord, your house will echo to her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I think if she wants to get married, prayerfully consider it and prepare. She should not go in there like, oh, I know about marriage. Start preparing again like a fresh single. Praise the Lord. Does that answer that question?
I believe so. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, so what do you do as a woman when you have good qualities? People also attest to it, yet you can't attract the right man. Your circle of male friends are good people, yet the wrong ones want to settle with you. So I think you can answer this for
you need to pray on a serious note. You seriously need to pray, because I've met ladies whom they are beautiful, they are okay, they have good character, everything is fine, but no one is coming. And for this lady, she said she's attracting the wrong people. So that means she needs to pray. She needs to talk to the Lord. I think my husband should continue from there, because I will continue saying pray. She needs to pray.
Praise the Lord. Okay. So apart from prayer, you need to ask yourself, what are these wrong people seeing in me that is attracting them? What are these wrong people seeing? Okay, my circle of friends are good. I have a good character. Then why am I attracting those? You must pray, oh, are you with me? But you must also check something else. Sometimes there may be some other subtle things that is attracting them. There is no smoke without fire. Are you getting me? The very things that will repel a good man may attract a bad man. Let me explain. Now, please, ladies, don't misunderstand me. If you are a lady who always exposes your body, or you are a lady who you have a very technical way of exposing your cleavage, exposing your laps, see, can I shock you? I have never been attracted to such things. Since I took my work with God serious, I have never. In fact, if I see that a lady exposes herself too much, I am irritated. In fact, I will run away. Guess what? That same thing will attract, it will make a man that feels like, maybe she's easy to get. Maybe she wants this thing. I don't know if you get me. So that kind of man who believes that, please don't misunderstand me. Please. I've heard guys say things like this. Ladies have fish brain. Have you ever seen that girl? They have fish brain. That, one was bragging that if I touch her like this, she will agree. What made him to believe like that was maybe he met one or two ladies that agreed easily. No, my wife does not have fish brain. Are you hearing me? Say after me, my wife does not have fish brain. Declare it for your wife to come. My daughter does not have fish brain. So, for her to be attracting the wrong people, she should check herself. What is that thing in me that they are seeing? Are you with me? Also, check your character. Maybe you are too somehow. There are some things, time is racing against us, but I believe the point is clear, right?
What about, when she checks herself and she can't really find that thing?
And she should pray.
So I think when you pray, the Lord has a way of opening up the places where you need to work on. And when you sit down under sound teaching, you sit down under the word of God, the pastor will hit it. He will tell you, change this, change your attitude. And even the people around you, they might have been pointing that thing to you. You need to put your ears down. There are sometimes they might say, you, sir, you two, they talk too much. Waiting beyond this one. Pick note. Take note of it. You, sir, every time I say you go, they verse, multi-don't verse. Take note of that and work on it. It could be that the Lord is using those people to bring it out. You know, many times when those things even come out, you say, "That's who I be. That's how I am. I beg, just leave me the way I am." It could be the way you are talking. You know, many times when you are even talking in public, you don't know that the person is watching you. He said, "I beg, me and no." Think about the way you behave. And also, if somebody has told you about your dressing style, work on it. It's only people that love you that can, you know, many times somebody might not even come to tell you that, but they might buy you roll on. When they start buying you plenty roll on, please have sense. So that when they come around, they will not start running. Small, small things that you can work on.
Sometimes. Maybe you have also demonstrated this character, some character traits of maybe you are so bossy, you are so demanding.
Yes.
You don't, there are some ladies that you don't, where people are working and trying to serve, you don't pick a pin, you don't want to serve, yes. But you're always controlling. And the person that is actually interested in you sees some things and like, can I be honest with you? See, many times I wake up every day and say, Father, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my wife. But honestly, in the flip side, I have seen people who I said, thank God I did not marry this one. And no, I'm telling you. You see some characters, they are wrong, but they cannot just agree they are wrong. You see some ladies, they never agree. They can be obviously wrong, but they will never agree. They always have a way of explaining it away. They are beautiful, fine girl like this, you see character. War. So please, I'm sorry if I offended you. There are just some things to work on. And the Lord will give us wisdom in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right, so this is like a two-in-one question. What if you're in a relationship and the guy in the relationship does as if he does not care? Like, he doesn't call, and if you call, he doesn't pick up. And the person has been a friend with a guy for a while, and the guy believes that the only thing a lady can offer is sex, and he has been asking the girl out. So the girl is friends with a guy, and maybe from conversation, the guy believes that the only thing a girl can offer is sex, and he's asking the girl out. Like, okay.
Run.
Break up. Straight
and
up.
Run.
The one in the relationship with a guy who doesn't call, and when she calls, he doesn't pick up, what do you do?
Okay, first of all, before you run, find out why. Why am I calling? He's not picking. What's happening? Have a conversation first. Let him explain himself. Because there are times where, truth be told, yes, it's not a good thing to do it for like a long time. You're always complaining and the person is still doing this. It's not a good sign. It's not good. But I feel, try to talk with him. Let him tell you what is actually taking up his time that is making him not respond to you. Then from there, you analyze from his answers and make your decision. Praise God.
Hallelujah. So concerning the guy that does not, first of all, that's an incomplete narrative. It's not a complete story. Because how can you be dating somebody that does not pick calls? If you claim that you're in a relationship with him, how did you now get to the point where you were in a relationship with him and now he's not picking calls? It's either, you need to just find out before you just run away. Something may be happening that you don't know. I'm telling you, something may be happening. There was a story of something that happened in Lagos. A pastor friend of mine was telling me, this lady was calling her man, and the man was not picking for days. She just got angry and said, he does not care about me. She did not know that the man slumped in the house. Listen. That's why, don't just conclude, he's not picking me. The man slumped in the house. They had rushed him to the hospital. He was dying. 1 week, 2 weeks, his phone was ringing. He was not picking. His phone was ringing. Text, he was not replying. WhatsApp, he was not replying. But he was online. It was looking like he was online. Are you guys what I'm saying? Only for his pastor friend to just, the Holy Ghost just minister to him. Go and visit this man. Went to his house. Nobody was there. Only to ask neighbors, they are running to the hospital. By the time he got there, this man was about to die. And he was now saying, my girl forgot me. He said, but she has been calling. Check the phone. Plenty missed calls. She did not check anybody. Nothing. Just stayed on her in her house. On her own. Got angry. It was pastor that had to call the girl. I said, I thought you said you were dating this guy. Where are you? This guy is in the hospital. He has been coughing blood. So sometimes, you can stay in your place and just assume. Are you getting me? Find out, sir, what is happening? If it's possible to visit him with someone, like, what's going on? You may get there and something else may be there. You may get there and discover that there's an alibi. It's not always the case. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But find out.
So, next question. How do we as Christians handle long-distance relationships? Mm-hmm. Like, you're in different countries.
Pastor Faith, ladies first. I'll come in after.
Okay. Long distance relationship. Now, if you must do long distance relationship, you must be ready. When I mean ready, ready to show up for this person's emotion, for this person's feelings. So you can find a way. It can be through video calls. It can be through maybe once in a while visit, or maybe once in a month, or I don't know. But there must be a way. So yes, I know that so many people, they are afraid of long-distance relationship. Maybe something can happen. But a man who is true to himself and a woman who is true to herself, and the both of them walk towards it, that relationship can work. It is not all the time that long-distance relationships fall into the pits. I've seen long-distance relationships who survive. So all you need to do is work. Just like Pastor said, even in the marriage, you need to work. Even when you marry, it's not every time that your husband will be there. Your husband might travel, like my own husband. We travel, and then he might stay long. So this long-distance relationship, at that particular time, make sure that the love keeps flowing, either by calls, find a way. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Let me add something. Long-distance relationship must have a timeline. Indefinite long-distance relationship will not work. Did you hear what I said? Long distance relationship must have a timeline. If it doesn't have a timeline and is indefinite, it's in Canada, you are in Nigeria. Hey, they said nature avoids vacuum or abhors vacuum, right? I'm telling you, after a while, after 3 years, 3 years is too much. In fact, let's assume it's 3 years or 4 years. Let's say one BSc. Or one election, one tenor, one governmental tenor. See, there must be a timeline. Don't just have it indefinitely. What is the plan? You must be consistently working towards a plan to reunite. Because even in the Bible, one of the major reasons why Eve was deceived was because Adam was absent. Do you know that? One of the reasons why Eve was being able to, why should the serpent be having such a conversation with Eve for that long? Explaining to the Giddies, explaining, where was Adam?
It was with her.
Where was Adam? Maybe he was doing something somewhere. So, in order not to have such issues, let me tell you, it is proven, you know, the farther you stay, after a while, out of mind is out of sight, Yes. So have a plan. And every day, walk towards the plan, communicate regularly, and work towards a plan to come back, or you join your partner. Somebody must join somebody. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Work towards a plan. So, thank you, sir. Thank you, ma. So, next, how do you deal with the trauma of a failed relationship that keeps you from starting a new one? So, how do you deal with broken hearts? Breakfast.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. We handled it in a way yesterday. Spend time with God. Let God heal you first. Like it's popularly said, heal before you deal.
Yes, very important.
Heal before you. Tell your neighbor, heal before you deal. Tell them again, heal before you deal. One sign that you are not okay is check the distance between your last breakup and your desire to have another breakup. To have another relationship, please, in Jesus' name. What is the timeline? Some people, you had a breakup last week. And this week, you're already looking for a replacement. You know that there is something wrong. Don't look for a quick replacement. Heal first, heal. So, the question now is, how do you heal? Spend time with God. Honestly, I will tell you from experience. Spend time with God. First and foremost, spend time with God. Don't think if you talk about your breakup to many people, say, do you know how this person broke up with me? You will think that if I tell more people about my breakup, I will heal. You know what you are doing? You are opening a wound more. You are opening a wound again and again. I have learned. Can I shock you? It is prayer and fasting that heals faster than any other therapy. You may not believe me, but from experience, I have discovered prayer and fasting. Of course, should you talk to somebody? I believe so. I believe you should open up to somebody. But don't open up to people who just camp around
You know when somebody's licking your sores? You just camp, you just talk about it. Tomorrow you meet again. You're talking about it. She's a very, very bad girl. He's a bad man. Next week, you are talking about it. Move on. Are you with me? Tell your neighbor, move on. Okay, you have opened up to the person. At this point, all the details are already made known. Don't go back and be repeating it again. You see, that guy, that breakup, that every day you want to talk about it, repeating it again.
That's actually a sign that there's still
something. There's still something.
Yes.
So, go beyond repeating it. Spend time with God. Open up to mature people who will encourage you out of that point and stop looking back. Stop looking back. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And a sign that you've actually healed is that when that issue comes up, it doesn't bring pain to your heart anymore. Even when you see the person, you don't feel hatred towards that person. The person is like a normal friend or you're just good. That's a sign that you have moved on. Thank you.
So this person is asking that if a lady has a profession and the man that she wants to be with is called into ministry, and you are saying that your visions have to be aligned, doesn't mean that the lady cannot share the vision with the man and at the same time pursue her profession. But I think the case here is that this guy is called to ministry. Maybe the lady perceives that she's not called to ministry, but she can support him, but she has a profession or something else.
Pastor Faith, do you want to go in first?
As long as you can support yourselves and one profession does not need to suffer for the other one, you're good. It is not all pastors' wives who preach. Do you understand me? It is not all pastors' wives who come and pray and cast out demons and hold programs and do all the plenty things. There are pastors' wives who are into teaching. They close from school and come to church, carry their sheke sheke, and they are praising God in church. At the end of the service, they go home, they are themselves and the woman and the husband, they are good. So as long as the both of you can agree and the profession, no one is suffering, you're supporting yourselves, then it can work.
In the Bible, if you discover in the Old Testament, you hardly hear about the wives of the prophets. Have you noticed? In the New Testament, you also hardly hear about the wives of the apostles. Do you notice? What many people don't know is that sometimes the wives actually had other things they were doing that was different from what their husbands were doing. Most of them, in fact, if you want to go statistically by the Bible presentation, husbands were not called alongside wives. Yes. It's just that some cases are unique, like my own case. The truth is, if I was not married to this woman, she's a man of God. Did you hear what I said? Even if I was not married to this woman is a man of God. Make what you want to make of that. I did not say woman of God, she's a man of God. Hallelujah. Now, so, you can have your profession as long as it's not going to, it doesn't have to die for the ministry to survive, or the ministry doesn't have to die for your profession to survive. Please, I will encourage you, be the career woman. Let the man be serving God faithfully and support him. And just plan about
what yes,
you can work your way through
discuss.
It. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So, sorry, a follow-up question to that. So if maybe, how do you mean by if one does not suffer? What if the woman, for example, the guy is in ministry, the woman has no interest whatsoever in ministry work?
So,
she's a believer, but she's not.
No, this is where there will be an issue now. If the lady has no interest at all, so you must not be carrying mic,
yes,
and be preaching, but she must have an interest in ministry. Like you must have a heart for the work of God. Are you getting me? She must have, even if she's not the one at the forefront of ministry work, for her to be a pastor's wife, she must have a soft spot or a passion for God.
Yes.
Generally. For some people, you are a minister. Then you want to now marry somebody who is rethinking if the Bible is supposed to be true or not. You know that you are digging your own grave. So, you get what I'm trying to say?
So another
follow-up question. Yeah,
sorry.
Please ask. Please ask.
Sure, you're not the one that
No, it's not me. This one is my question. But so, does it mean that aligned vision doesn't mean you are both doing the same thing?
Thank you. So, aligned vision does not mean you are doing the same thing. It means that the path that you are taking can work together. Are you getting me?
So even in the vision, there's something that brings you guys together. There's a common ground. There's a place of understanding and unity. Like, have you noticed that most doctors is like they marry doctors? Have you also noticed that there are people who are like, maybe this one is a teacher. They can also marry a banker. They must come to a place where there's something that brings them together, that unites them, a common ground. I don't know.
We get you.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.